This is Manton Reese.
And this is Daniel Jalkin.
And this is Core Intuition, throwing fits and leaving platforms.
Well, Manton, I am toiling away here in my Arlington, Massachusetts code cave on blogging software. Mars Edit always needs something done to it. It seems there's a never-ending list of things to do. And I work on it because I love to work on it and also because it supports me and my family. However, maybe I'm doing it wrong because I did not receive $160 million within the past week.
WordPress announced they had $160 million or so in new investment. And obviously WordPress is a big, I mean, it's most of your customers, right, are on WordPress now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, there are, most of them are on WordPress, but I would hasten to add that most of them are on the not-for-profit open source version, probably. I would assume.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know if you can tell if is there any kind of anonymous stats you could gather, assuming obviously if they have a WordPress.com domain,
right,
that's a dead giveaway. But a lot of people have a custom domain, so could you even tell?
I think I could because, you know, it's an interesting point. I don't make a distinction now because I actually don't collect any stats on the specifics of hosts that people connect to, but I collect stats based on which API and what system they configure either manually or because Mars Edit does notice, like, oh, this is a WordPress blog and sets it up as a WordPress blog. But, you know, since you mentioned it, I could actually collect that kind of information because in the case of WordPress, they've for many, many years on WordPress.com, they've had one of those cute little things where they set one of the HTTP headers to like a job pitch. So they say, like, if you're reading this, you should apply to work here.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's like it's a fun way to say, like, hey, if you're anybody like looking down at the network HTTP header level, that's one way to sift, you know, at least for technical people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great.
So I could probably see that and say, okay, this is actually a WordPress.com blog, you know, and that would apply to even things that are hosted with custom domains there. But,
well, one of the things I noticed is, I've been struggling with, you know, I have an ancient version of movable type that I've been running for the last 10 years or something. And I want to do things with my blog often that I just can't easily do because the software is so old and I don't want to hack on it. I don't want to mess with it. And so I've been, every few months, it seems like I look at, okay, what should I use? I should switch to a new blogging platform. What should it be? And so just a few days ago, before this WordPress news hit, I was looking at WordPress yet again. And one of the things when you were talking, I just remembered is this Jetpack thing that that's like package. And I think it makes a lot of sense to me in terms of providing, you know, for all those self-hosted people that are just running the open source version of WordPress, provide a package of tools, and most of them are free, but I, you know, obviously they'll start charging for these and have, you know, stuff in the cloud, stuff on WordPress.com that you can use and subscribe to even when you're self-hosting.
Yeah, I think it's very clever, and it it makes people feel empowered to have all the fancy stuff from WordPress without having to pay them. You know, well, actually, you know, WordPress.com is free if you accept that they reserve the right to put ads on your blog, basically.
Yeah, and they do.
And yeah, for many years it was just reserve the right because they probably couldn't find anybody to pay for the ads. But so, you know, this is a great way. Jetpack is a great way for them to make users feel great because they feel like they're, you know, getting something totally for free. They're able to have all the control hosting their own site and all this and that. But then, of course, there's something in it for WordPress too. Even if they don't overtly charge for it, it's like they could keep you in the loop, sort of, you know, they keep their hooks into you. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just that, you know, there's a chance, you know, in a scenario like with WordPress where there is this free option, the self-hosted version of WordPress, there's a chance that you would just lose those customers forever. It kind of actually reminds me, Manton, of your conundrum with I was just catching up on your – finally, I caught up on your podcast with Release Notes and the the interview where you were talking about, you know, how you can't get to your tweet library customers, so to speak, because all you have is their Twitter ID. And like something like this is a, I mean, it's kind of like WordPress has, for everybody they can get to install this plugin, they have a relationship with them. And it may or may not lead, it may lead them to eventually hosting on WordPress. It may lead them to some other, upsell, like you say. But it's a much better position to be in than to just have them out there in the wild. And you know, WordPress.org is, I think, even though it's, you know, strongly contributed to by Automattic, by the commercial arm of WordPress, I do think it's still pretty independent. You know, like there's, I don't think WordPress.org is going to, I don't know, this is a good question. I don't know, I don't think they would go out of their way to help WordPress.com. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of a different mission.
Right. I mean, sure that the core contributors to the .org, I'm sure there's a bunch of them that work at Automattic.
Yes.
But yeah, like if Automattic went out of business tomorrow, WordPress.org would still be fine. And, you know, it's all GPL. You know, Matt has talked a bunch about how important that particular license and, you know, the way that WordPress is open source, how that matters to him and how they started the company. So I assume it would be fine.
Yeah.
But there must be a huge overlap. I mean, it would be a huge hit to WordPress, the platform, or not the platform, but, you know, the open source platform, if they didn't have full support from the company.
Right. So this this funding thing, was one of the interesting nuances of it is it says that it values the company Automattic at $1.16 billion, which is a lot of money, but I've become so numb to large numbers these days.
That's a couple billion. Yeah.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I see that number is, wow, WordPress dominates the, you know, the WordPress brand. Like, and this is another kind of funny thing, because WordPress.com and Automattic, they sort of get to benefit from the fact that the open source movement is perpetuating their brand through the free version, right? It's not like a situation where it's called something else, like, you know, BlogBuddy is the open source one and then WordPress.com. So it just struck me that, like, wow. It's a little bit surprising, actually, that WordPress, I mean, it has to be at this point, like, the most recognized blogging system overall. I mean, it has to be. You know, you could say that, you know, sites like Tumblr are more popular with kids and et cetera. But, you know, what's amazing about WordPress is that they, if you take it with, like, the open source stuff and the commercial stuff together, they host everything from, like, high level stuff, like huge parts of major corporations' websites, down to, you know, this is my, I don't know, I've struggled to say something lowbrow enough that it makes the point, but without being too gross. this is my blank. You know, they. So anyway, getting around to the point, it's huge, and it begs the question: under what circumstance would a company like Facebook just buy WordPress? Mm-hmm. I kind of get that they don't think of. I think that, you know, like Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr, et cetera, they all kind of don't think of themselves as in the same business, maybe as like the WordPress style of blogging, but. I don't know. It makes it interesting to me that we've seen these acquisitions for around $1 billion. Like wasn't that the Instagram acquisition?
Right. But nowadays, if Instagram sold 6 months ago instead of a couple of years ago, it would probably have been more than $1 billion.
Yeah.
Just based on the way acquisitions have been going.
Right.
But no, I think it would complement Facebook perfectly, actually, because people do write long stuff on Facebook, right? That's one of the things that makes it different than Twitter. And it's hard to link to that stuff and make it public because of just the way Facebook works and the way it feels like it's better for a private group of friends and family. And having a public, obviously public blogging type interface to Facebook under a different brand
Yeah.
makes perfect sense to me. I don't know if this is current, but I like the Alexa top, you know, whatever sites. WordPress.com's in the top 20, which I was going to guess top 10 or 20. But, yeah. You know, I mean, huge sites are in there, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, whatever. So, I mean, it's a bunch of I assume it's all the, you know, subdomains, all the sites that are hosted there together.
Right. But
it's big.
Yeah. And, you know, as we've mentioned before, Automattic has a bunch of stuff that's not WordPress. Like they've got, remember, I think it was a couple of years ago now, or maybe just a year ago, they acquired that service that you like, or you liked it, or you used it anyway. It was a simple note.
Yeah.
And I haven't really heard that much about them over the past year or so, but it looks like it's still up and ticking. I think you ended up just switching to everything over to Dropbox, right?
That's right. I was already using JustNotes.app on the Mac to interface with SimpleNote. And then, yeah, I decided that I really wanted everything on Dropbox because then I could use different clients and different platforms. And I mean, I could kind of do that before because SimpleNote does have a nice API. But I just decided everything should be on Dropbox. Everything should be in just text files.
Right.
So SimpleNote's great, but I decided to move away from it.
The Automattic owns all this stuff that you just kind of take for granted, like the fact that, you know, when you log into all these different blogs with your email address, it has your picture there, and that's Gravatar.
Mm-hmm.
SimpleNote, obviously. Then stuff like Pole Daddy, random stuff, right? Like,
what?
Yeah. Do you know Pole Daddy was owned by Automattic?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they had all this random stuff. And then, I don't know, what do you think so when I posit that like somebody like Facebook could acquire Automattic, I would have normally said no, I don't think Matt would want that. He wouldn't, like, that's not his vision for,
right?
But how much, I don't know how much power he has, and it probably has tons, but does like opening it up to more investment, does that change the priority for Automattic? Like does it become now more of a company that's planning to be acquired someday? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to guess. I need to look through his blog post again, but I think he said something about wanting the company to be around for decades. I don't think he'll sell it.
Yeah.
I think this investment is purely a, you know, we're kind of making money, but we're kind of, you know, not rolling in cash, and we want to invest more and do more things like buy SimpleNote and expand, you know, things like Jetpack and this other stuff. I think the money is purely to hire another 100 employees.
Yeah.
And invest in a few companies, buy Red Sweater Software, you know.
Exactly. Now we're talking. See, I like the way you think, Manton.
Would you sell? That's the question.
Oh,
if Matt comes to you and says, hey, you know, Mars said it'd be great as a WordPress.app, you know, on the Mac, you know, let's rebrand it and here's some cash.
That would be a great conundrum. Let's say it was like a good number. Let's say it was like $5 million. Right.
Okay.
Like that starts to make me think, that's interesting. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You notice how I don't start at 1 million in any.
Well, they have 160 million in the bank as of a couple of days ago. So 5 million doesn't seem.
It's not terrible. But yeah. So here's the conundrum. I may be strongly enough philosophically tied to my disdain for GPL licensing.
Oh yeah.
That I might be able to turn down $5 million just to avoid having all my code become.
Right. Cause it would probably,
because
they would probably say, let's open source Mars Edit and it'll be GPL. Cause I want to say they bought another WordPress app for iOS and it is now open source. But it's the official, or it's the basis for the official WordPress app.
I don't know. I never heard about that being based on an acquisition, but it may have been.
They bought some iOS app.
I
thought it was the app that became WordPress, but I may be wrong. They bought some blogging app.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But I was at the Apple store yesterday, and I noticed that the WordPress app for iPad is on all the iPads. It's one of the little demo apps.
Oh, that's cool.
Because there's only, I don't know how many apps, 20 apps or something that they pre-install. And so that was one of them. I clicked around. They have like a little example blog in there. So,
well, I guess I got to finally finish up Mars Edit for iOS so that I can aspire to replace the WordPress app on Apple's demo pads.
Yeah. Okay, this week we are happy to have Crashlytics back as a sponsor. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Crashlytics is a great crash reporting framework for iOS and Android. I've been using this for at least a year or two in Tweet Library, and it makes it really easy. You add it to your app, and then crashes get sent up to Crashlytics server. Everything gets put together, and they have just a really nice web interface for filtering crashes, figuring out where crashes are happening, marking them as done, filtering by versions, and just going in and trying to figure out where the crash is so you can actually fix it and do a bug fix update. And so just last week, actually, I did a new version of Tweet Library, and I took some time. You know, I don't look at crashes every day or every week, to be honest, but when I do a new release, I'll go into Crashlytics and I'll take some time to say, okay, what crashes are still happening? There might be some crashes I couldn't reproduce before, but I've done this update. I've improved some things. Let's see if those crashes are still there. So I filter by the newest version, and then I just go through and I try to hit as many as I can. And so last week I did this. I fixed at least three or four crashes in the app and did a bug fix update. And, you know, then waited a few days, looked in Crashlytics again, say, okay, are they fixed? Is there anything new coming in? And so they've done a great job of improving the web interface to make it really easy to find and filter crashes. And so, yeah, I spent some time in the web interface last week fixing bugs. So it works really well for me, and hopefully listeners can check it out.
Great. Thanks again, Crashlytics, for sponsoring the show.
And that's at crashlytics.com.
So Manton, maybe 5 million, maybe I was being a little bit rash there. Maybe 5 million is in fact enough to make me break with my long-held ideals. And the truth of the matter is, actually, I have allowed my my own code to be tainted by the GPL in the past. I occasionally submit bug fixes to WordPress. It's in my best interest to have WordPress work well. So some of my code, some of my very small, contributions have actually been, licensed under the GPL with far less, actually $0 compared to the $5 million. So I don't know what the breaking point would be for me. And probably it would be a good opportunity for me just to take a chill pill and get on with my life. But speaking of not being able to take a chill pill and get on with your life, let's talk about your ongoing uneasy relationship with your Twitter account. Because you recently decided to revisit this on, I guess you're probably getting tired of people always asking you, like, when are you going to go back to Twitter? Like me on this show, like I famously made my bet with you for 5 years, I think as of maybe a year ago. So I think I got 4 years to go. Yeah. And, you have recently made it utterly clear on your blog. You titled the piece, "Would I Go Back to Twitter?" And to make a long story short, the answer is no.
Correct. The answer is no. Yeah, I almost put a little, too long didn't read. Although I get to the point fairly quick. But it's interesting to write that. I wrote this post actually a month ago, and I finally got around to posting it today because there's been some new, there's always new discussion. Is app.net going to go away? Is it, is Twitter going to get less evil or better? Or do people care at all anymore? And so I finally, polished this up and posted it. And it's an interesting exercise for me to just write it up. There's nothing like writing up something to help kind of clarify your thoughts on it. But yeah, the short answer is no. And I think I'm very like 100%. I don't even think at this point I could change my mind because of the way this has played out, at least in my head and in this blog post.
Like you said, you sort of locked yourself in. You built yourself this elaborate gauntlet of shame, which you must travel back through in order to undo the decision.
Yeah,
right.
Like, exactly.
And you steeped it with like these important symbols to you, like you've got this, Steve Jobs like homage at the end of your Twitter stream, and you have to go back and basically say that you were fraudulent to
right.
And here's the thing: for some reason, the comparison that comes to mind for me on this is not so much my imagined conundrum of taking $5 million from Mars Edit, but it's more like there's a sandwich place in town that is widely regarded as having some of the best sandwiches. And I've sometimes been asked to go there, and and I have to say no. What? I don't go there. And this is kind of like you and Twitter, because okay. to everybody else, it's like, what do you mean you don't go there? Like, that's where people go, you know? And like with Twitter, it's like, what do you mean you don't go on Twitter? Like, Manton, you're trying to run an indie software business, and you know, Twitter is one of the best promotional outlets and like social environments, and you own and develop software for the platform. And what do you mean you don't go there? And like, the reason I don't go to this sandwich place is because I went there once and I had a delicious sandwich, but they gave me this like ridiculous customer experience where they wouldn't let me sit down to eat the sandwich because I had ordered it at the counter. And I said, well, I want to sit down and eat my sandwich now. And they said, sorry, you can only sit down and eat your sandwich if you sat down first and ordered from a waiter.
Is this hypothetical or did this
happen? This actually happened. Okay. So now there's this sandwich place that I see sometimes. And I thought over the years, to be honest with you, Manton, I thought that over the years I would wear myself down and I would be like, you know what? I'm going to go back in there. I'm finally going to get one of those delicious sandwiches. But I just think about it and I think those guys were jerks to me and I can't support mm-hmm. them.
Right. You will not forget and forgive. And that's exactly how I feel about Twitter. And well, there's two things. One is about the business aspect and how you can't ignore Twitter. And so the compromise I've come up with is that, like I said before, I answer questions from @TweetLibrary. And thank you, listeners. A couple of people have said hi to me on that account. That's fine, I guess. But
yeah, Manton is now tweeting personally at...
No, I'm not. but I do reply to support questions. And ever since I've been doing these TweetLibrary updates the last couple of weeks, I've been getting a lot of support questions there. And so that's been a good channel to communicate with customers. But the other part, and it's this one line I think in my blog post sums it up, which is that I leave my personal account silent as a small protest, right? So the personal account, it's silent. It's my little statement, whatever. If you take it seriously or not, it doesn't matter that much. But yes, I can't totally ignore it. I do have to answer customer questions. But my personal account, no posts.
So here's the problem, okay? I chose to boycott one sandwich place that sometimes makes me look like a weirdo for not going to, right? But there are tons of other sandwich places and tons of other restaurants. And you could argue with Twitter that there are tons of other social networks, there are other outlets, places to get things done. But I don't know, Manton. I still come back to this idea that you are possibly hurting yourself more than you are, you know, proving a point or making anything right in the universe. And, you know, like with my sandwich thing, I might be hurting myself by like occasionally letting somebody down who wants to go there with me or not having the most delicious sandwich I could possibly have. But what happens, for instance, when your kids get older and let's say they decide they are really into Twitter. Are you going to like approve of this relationship? And then what if they're like, Dad, you should really be on Twitter. It's really cool. And like, I would like to keep in touch with you on Twitter. What happens then? Like the world goes on and Twitter becomes more and more. Here's one of the problems is you left Twitter at a time when it was already extremely popular, but it's actually only gotten more popular now. And I would say possibly only gotten more essential as a sort of social network. And I know you still use it, quote unquote, for your business accounts. But there's just something to being engaged with Twitter, I think, that gives you a leg up on everybody else out there who's trying to be a successful person in like the digital software world.
Yeah, I don't think so. You said a couple things that I don't think are right. First of all, I'm not convinced that Twitter is going to last forever. Last week, they had bad news. Their stock is totally plummeted. There was an article on The Atlantic about how, you know, glory days are over. It's all downhill from here, and people are leaving Twitter. Now, of course, a lot of people are quick to react to that and say this is why that's not right. But I'm not convinced that Twitter is going to be around in 10 years. It's always difficult when we're like totally engaged in a site and using it all the time to imagine it going away. But you just go back the history, 10, 15 years of websites, yeah, and they go away. I mean, it's not set in stone. So I actually had another blog post about this last week, not focusing on me not posting to Twitter, but focusing on this idea that we are putting so much content into these centralized servers that may not last, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Medium for blog posts instead of your own blog. This is a serious problem, in my opinion, because as soon as one of these sites goes away, you know, we've lost all these posts and just the culture of, you know, of the time that has been put into the stuff. And so we need to be posting to our own stuff. And when I wrote that, actually, I got some really good feedback from other people who do things like they have their own sort of microblogging site, like a section of their blog, and then they kind of push it out to Facebook and Twitter and app.net. And that way they have control of the stuff and they can still engage people and reply and retweet and favorite things on those sites, but they actually control like their own writing. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think we need to do more stuff like that. I'm not convinced that it's that important. I mean, I hear all the time people say, oh my gosh, if it wasn't for Twitter, I wouldn't have met this person, or I wouldn't have, made friends with this person, or I wouldn't know anybody. I mean, you and I, we were blogging before Twitter, and somehow you and I met, and I can say the same thing for dozens of other people in the community. Somehow I met other people and I read their blog and I understood what they were working on going through. Somehow that world existed before Twitter. And maybe it's amplified now and easier now, but you can have these relationships with people and you can write and post to the internet without Twitter. It is possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right. Here's the funny thing is I'm basically, and you and I share this, we're basically like inept at Facebook, which many people would propose is a far more important social network than Twitter, as far as like being engaged and like networked with people or whatever. And I seem to have no problem at all letting that part of my life, die on the vine, I guess. I guess it's just because, you know, when it comes down to it, Manton, I am a Twitter sort of fanboy. I was offended by some of the developer-facing decisions they made back when you were. But it wasn't – obviously, I wasn't as invested in it as a developer as you. Let me just look back at your post, because there was one little thing where it was like you basically said like, I was right, I won't be going back. Oh yeah, he goes, you basically said I was right. No, yeah. You say, here's the thing, I wasn't wrong. Every reason I gave for leaving Twitter is still valid. I have friends at Twitter doing great work. It's truly incredible what they've built. But Twitter is too big and successful to change now. We can't rewind the clock to when Twitter was a tiny company that cared more about developers than advertisers. So I won't go back. I won't be back. You could replace Twitter with Apple in that closing paragraph. Mm-hmm. And everything but caring more about developers than advertisers, the advertisers part, could be part of your vendetta against Apple.
Yeah. And I have written rants about Apple where I use the same kind of words, like developer hostile, with the App Store. I was so upset with the App Store when it was first getting started, and I eventually got over it. And I think there are a few differences, but the getting over it part is the main difference. Because like you said a second ago with the sandwich shop, you know, you still are outraged about the treatment. Most people like, I had a better customer support experience, but it fades after a couple years. Most people are like that with Twitter. There was so much outrage over what Twitter was doing 2 years ago with the various, you know, the guidelines and the quadrants and, you know, killing apps. And there's so much outrage. And then eventually people are like, well, you know, time passes and wounds heal and they get over it. But everything that people are outraged about is the same. Nothing has changed at all. So I still feel the outrage that I felt 2 years ago. I'm not going to give it up that easily. And just because a couple of years passed doesn't mean that I should feel better about it.
Well, so I think what you didn't really – so you sort of did address this by saying that they're too big to ever rewind the clock now. Like that can't change. But I don't think that's true because – Just as you said, Twitter could become irrelevant and go away. Also, the ways that they are, their priorities could easily shift all over the place. So, you know, what if their priorities change in a way that like it suddenly becomes like it doesn't matter to them? It's more trouble than it's worth even to throttle developer access or this, that, or the other thing. Like, in the unlikely event that they do change, is that enough? Or like, you know, for all I know, they had like a seminar at the sandwich place and they trained all their waiters to not be jerks. And right. I don't care. Just like, but
if there's an under new management sign in the window, will that
under new management, previous management has been hanged.
Well, so the problem with a company that does something you don't like is that you can't trust them anymore. And so if, you know, let's say Dick Costello is out, somebody new is there, and they're like, we have a new vision, and it involves embracing third-party developers, and whatever. I mean, whatever, you can make up some scenario. But the problem is you have to be a little bit careful, because a company that switches course frequently in their, you know, their short, you know, lifespan can do it again. And so I would be very careful. I would not make any changes. And like you said, I've set up this elaborate system of not going back to Twitter. So it would take something incredible that I can't even imagine for me to change my mind on it. With Apple, it was a little different. One of the things was that, yes, in time, you know, you can forgive companies. But also, I really think that Apple – As upset I was about the way the App Store is locked down and the way I'm still upset. I'm waiting in review 4 or 5 days for a minor bug fix update. That still bothers me. But as upset as I am about that, I feel like their heart is in the right place. Like, they do want great apps on their platform, right? That's why they have WordPress and 20 other apps on iPads in the store. They do want to showcase third-party apps, and they want to have their platform just be great for apps. And they want to have a great customer experience, and that's the most important thing. That takes the edge off a little bit of the policies, because I think the heart's in the right place. They're trying to do the right thing for customers. But, you know, along that path, things are a little bit locked down, and they make some bad calls sometimes and reject apps that they shouldn't, especially a couple years ago. It's certainly gotten a little better.
Yeah, but I think when you add it all up, the negative things that Apple has done to developers, I mean, they do so much good as well. But I think that's why it's such a good comparison, is because they do so much good and they've done some like high profile sort of troubling things, let's say. And I just think it's sort of lucky, Manton, that you didn't decide at some point to have like to build one of these elaborate gauntlets for yourself with Apple. Like, if you had said like, that's it. What if you took Riverfold off the, you took, Clipstart, yeah, off the Mac App Store. And what if you had, you know, submitted a new app that was called like Steve Jobs in Memoriam, my statement about the App Store and why I'll never go back.
Right.
Then you might be a little upset about that. I mean, I don't know. It's like,
I do have a little history of throwing fits and leaving platforms. So anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I view them slightly. I mean, I totally acknowledge the overlap there, but I do view them a little bit differently. Also, the other thing is that when I left Twitter, there was some great alternatives. You know, I still think app.net is a great alternative. I don't know what in the world's going to happen to it, but I love it. I post there. I reply to people. I've met people through that you know, that, again, you know, I could have met otherwise, I could have read their blog, but I have, you know, met people through app.net that has been a great, you know,
yeah,
great system of connecting folks together. So that came along at the same time with Apple, the platform. I mean, it's, there's just not, what am I mean, I love the iPhone. What am I going to do? Sell the iPhone and get an Android and get a, I mean, there are other mobile platforms that I could totally just ditch Apple and go to, but it just doesn't seem productive to me. I was actually in, when I went to the Apple store yesterday, there's a Microsoft store nearby, just, you know, five stores down. And so I'm killing time with my son when my wife and daughters are shopping for something else. And so he's like, let's go to the Microsoft store. Cause of course he knows the Xbox and all that. And so we go in and we actually went in and we played with some stuff and we left and we came back and actually used some of the phones and the tablets and the servers and stuff for the first time. And they're doing really interesting stuff. Like, I really do think so. It's not a successful platform, but they've got good ideas. But I'm not going to ditch my phone and switch platforms. I love what Apple's doing. I love what the company is about, even if they do have these missteps with the App Store sometimes.
Yeah, I think that probably boils it down for me. Probably the way I feel about Twitter and the social environment there and really the company and the product is more like how you feel about your iPhone. Like I sort of feel like I'm not going to give up. It's the product I like, you know, and it's a good question for everybody to ask themselves, like, what would it take for the product that you like enough that you're like a fan of it, that you're like, this is my product. I like to use this. I like to use Twitter. What will it take? What do they have to do to make me rage quit the product? What does Apple have to do to make me rage quit the Mac? And, you know, we've seen that a few times over the years, like these long-time Mac users up and bailing the platform because of, you know, being upset with exactly the same kind of things, upset with Apple's policies and what they seem to imply about the company's values for the long term. And I just can't see myself not using a Mac, and I can't see myself not using Twitter. So I guess that's just the difference, is you obviously could see yourself off of Twitter. And there you go. There you have it.
And to be honest, I think it's worked out fine. You say it's holding my business back and maybe personal connections, but yeah, I think it's worked out fine.
That's probably more me trying to needle you a little bit. That's me trying to get at the truth than to claim that I'm stating the truth.
Well, there is definitely truth to it, because if I tweeted a link to the blog post I just wrote, I would get more traffic than if I didn't tweet it. Right. I mean,
that's it in a nutshell. Yeah. There's something to that. Like, that is a real tangible amount of traffic and stuff like that that you're giving up. And I guess just being willing to say, you know, at the end of the day, you're saying it's more important to me to maintain this commitment, this tirade really against this company.
Yeah. Well, so, but here's the thing, right? I said, like, it's a small protest. Me trying to make a statement, even if it's insignificant, by not posting to Twitter, it wouldn't mean anything if it didn't cost me anything. If it didn't have a cost, it would not matter. Because if it's easy to protest, it doesn't make any, I mean, it's meaningless, right? I mean, it has to have some personal cost. And this is fairly minor compared to, if you think about people protesting things that are really important in government or society or whatever, this doesn't matter that much. But it's the same kind of thing. If it was easy, it wouldn't carry any weight whatsoever. So it has to have some kind of cost.
Okay. Yeah, that is compelling. I appreciate that. So you give up riches, fame, glory, success, and I give up
the $5 million from WordPress because of the GPL.
And the delicious sandwich.
Right, those two.
Well, Manson, I hope I haven't needled you too much about this Twitter thing. I think it's very interesting, and you make a great point about that. It has to cost something to be meaningful, and that's why I'm leaving the Mac and iOS effective today, and I'm making an extremely complicated gauntlet. No, I take it back. I can't do it.
Leaving iOS, you have to ship Marzetta for iOS before you can eat it.
Oh, sting. Oh, sorry. Burn. Yeah, I deserve it. But yeah, it's good to, you know, it's better to have standards than not to. Let's just put it that way. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world who will just go about the, you know, taking everything that they want or need from, you know, different companies, services, et cetera. And if you don't at least stop to ask yourself whether you are actually willing to keep doing it, then you might not be a human being, you know? So good for you, Manson, for standing up for what you believe in. And now, if you will excuse me, I have some Twitter messages to catch up on.
Great. Well, good talking to you again this week. Thanks, everyone, for ordering t-shirts. They should be in the mail soon. I hope they turn out okay. And hope to see y'all WWDC. It's coming up. I'm sure we'll talk about that again in the next couple weeks. But as always, if you have any feedback, send it to us at feedback@corint.org or on Twitter or app.net at @corint.
All right. Talk to you next week, Manton.
Bye.